This podcast was recorded on Thursday, June 28th at 10:36 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like the U.S. Supreme Court may allow cameras to show how the third and equally powerful branch of government makes decisions that affect lives.
No, transparency is so overrated, Mike. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those shrewd Snollygosters out there running things at the Statehouse and beyond. I'm Steve Brown, joined by co-host Mike Thompson with us via Skype this week from sunny San Diego, California. Mike, how is the left coast?
Well, it's a little cloudy this morning, actually. The weather people got it wrong, at least for now. So it's sunny every day here. It's really nice. Of course, the big news out here is the Supreme Court is big news everywhere. But there's a political story out here that will sound familiar. Jerry Brown, governor of California, unveiled his last budget yesterday before he leaves office. He said he came into office and he inherited a $27 billion deficit. And he is leaving office with a $16 billion surplus. Kind of sounds a lot like Governor Kasich's pitch, doesn't it, Steve?
We'll get to Governor Kasich here in a minute. As you alluded to, though, this week, the big story affecting Ohio politics did not happen in Columbus. It happened in Washington when the Supreme Court did what Governor Kasich and the Ohio legislature tried but failed to do 7 years ago with Senate Bill 5.
In a split decision, the court ruled that public employees cannot be forced to pay union dues or so-called fair share dues to those public employee unions. This is exactly what Ohio lawmakers did in 2011 before voters overwhelmingly rejected that in a special election.
Yeah, they certainly did. I've seen the Ohio Federation of Teachers come out already since the decision. They had some rose-colored glasses on. I think they were very confident this would not be a big hit to their union. They have about 15,000 members of that union. They thought that that union still was a viable, valuable option for members. But I have to believe this is going to certainly hurt membership. I don't think there's any doubt that it will. At the very least, it'll lower their bottom line.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, even if they lost 10 to 15% of members not willing to pay this fair share or pay their dues anymore, that's certainly going to hurt their bottom line. But as Justice Samuel Alito wrote in his opinion, unions are going to have to adjust. And you saw that already yesterday. That union heads were saying, okay, we'll deal with this. We've dealt setbacks before. We will deal with this. They're basically going to have to become marketers. They're going to have to sell the benefits of belonging to a union to members, perhaps more than they've had to in the past. They've had sort of relied on this automatic payment. If you came to work for state government and you were a union area or local government, you were in a union area, you paid dues or you paid the fair share dues. Now they're going to have to sell the benefits of union membership to those members. We'll see how that all plays out.
It's a very conservative ideal as well, right? If the union has market value to people, give them the option.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole crux. It's a free speech issue. That's what the court ruled, that if you don't agree with your union's positions, should you be forced to pay them money? Now, they supposedly were not using the fair share dues for political speech, but it all goes in the same pot, so let's be realistic here. So that's what it came down to. It's a free speech issue, and conservatives and free speech advocates argued that these fair share dues, forced fair share dues, violated free speech of those folks who are forced to pay them.
I did some digging this morning. I was not really able to find, I mean, this is a prospective thing going forward. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, how many people are actually going to opt out.
I saw some figures from some other states that have passed the whole so-called right to work legislation where you can't force people to join a union as a condition of their employment. And some union reps were saying that they were able to hold on to 85% of their members even in right to work states. So if that figure holds true, again, it's a hit, but it's not a huge hit. It's not a deadly hit, you could say. Keep in mind, this only applies to public employee unions, not private employee unions, although some say that the forced dues for private employee unions will be the next challenge to come before the courts. But keep in mind, in Ohio, where manufacturing has seen a decline and other industries, mining and things like that, those unions have seen declining membership. It's the public employee unions that are the strong ones in Ohio. Those unions have remained steady in their membership. So they make up a larger percentage, if not the majority of the union members here in Ohio. So this is a big deal for those unions, and we'll have to see, but it certainly is going to affect the amount of money they are able to give to politicians, primarily Democratic politicians in the state of Ohio.
Let's stay in Ohio now. Inside the Ohio State House, it was the last week of action before lawmakers depart for summer vacation and to run their campaigns.
Yeah, lawmakers passed a flurry of bills, but they punted on a few of the most controversial bills. You know, they did allow, the Senate passed a bill that allows you to bring your dog to your favorite
only the
patio park.
Only the most important business there.
So dog owners unite. They're on their way to bringing them to the patios, especially now that it's good weather is here. By the time they get this passed, it'll be cold, but that's okay. Anyway, they punted on a few of the most controversial bills. They're waiting for changes and or a final vote. The two biggies are the Stand Your Ground bill and payday lending reform.
First now to the Stand Your Ground bill that the lawmakers punted on this week. It would loosen Ohio's gun laws even further. It would keep local governments from enacting gun control measures, and it removes the duty to flee when faced with mortal danger at any place. So it's really not just inside your home when you might think that you're allowed to pull a gun on somebody if they come into your house to rob you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case in Florida. I mean, George Zimmerman claimed that he felt that he faced mortal danger, and that's why he shot Trayvon Martin. This is exactly the Stand Your Ground law bill in Ohio would codify that here in the state of Ohio.
Why no action on that? This is a very gun-friendly legislature. What happened?
Well, a couple of things. John Kasich has threatened a veto. I'm guessing that there are enough lawmakers, conservative Republican lawmakers in the legislature to override that veto.
That's what House Speaker Ryan Smith said. He has the votes to override any potential vetoes.
So maybe they're just making sure that's the case. I do think that there's still, even though the passion has faded a bit from the Parkland, Florida shootings, the school shooting there, and then the subsequent one in Texas, there's still a bit of a feeling out there that we shouldn't be loosening gun laws among even moderate folks. So maybe they're just taking their time on this. I think it will pass, but you know, Republicans don't want to lose moderate votes before the election. So they may wait for the lame duck session to pass this.
I was more surprised by payday lending. I thought this was a done deal. I thought that after the Cliff Rosenberger resignation, he resigned amid an FBI investigation into his association with lobbyists from the payday lending industry. I thought this was hanging over their head. I thought they needed to get these reforms in place, and now they are punting to the fall at the earliest. This comes amid big potential changes to the bill in the Senate. Matt Huffman from Lima has said he wants to do some things that other lawmakers have said would take the teeth out of the bill. That would really be a handout to the lending industry. And so he really threw a wrench in there this week when he proposed his new bill.
Yeah, it just shows the strength of the payday lending industry in Ohio and at the State House. They donate a lot of money to candidates and politicians at the State House, to lawmakers at the State House. So they have a lot of sway. And They have successfully stalled this bill, at least for now. I'm not sure how this is going to play out. I mean, there will be negative ads running against members and top of the ticket candidates saying that there's a culture of corruption and the payday lenders have their grip on the State House by not having this bill off their plate that gives more fuel to that fire.
It's almost a self-made problem for Republicans at this time, because I'm imagining those negative ads you're talking about right now, all the fun that those ad makers can have with the cha-ching sound at payday lending stores, and it really is, it's bad optics at best to have the House Speaker resign because of his activities with payday lending lobbyists, and then to kick this can down the road. I really don't understand it. Let's turn now to the governor's race. Richard Cordray, the Democratic nominee in that race, facing some flack now for a comment that he made. He compared Republicans who supported John Kasich's cut to state money of local governments to the French who collaborated with Nazi Germany in World War II. And he apologized, but this is really an unfortunate comment by him.
Yeah, and it really wasn't a full-fledged apology. He said he regrets repeating a comment that someone else told him. So it was kind of an apology, but not a full-throated one. You know, can we just have a rule? Let's not compare anyone to the Nazis unless we can prove they're a Nazi. And I want that for a rule in politics.
I'm on
board. Stay away from Hitler. Stay away from the Nazis.
I'm on board. Yeah.
It's only going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, there's no good outcome for comparing someone to Hitler or to Nazis. I do want to talk about Bill Seitz. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a very strange situation involving the state senator.
Yes, Seitz was accused of sexually harassing another lawmaker, making inappropriate comments at an event in downtown Columbus. The Ohio Attorney General's office hired a private law firm to investigate, and they cleared Seitz of any wrongdoing.
Now, the problem, though, lies in which firm the state selected. It's the well-known Taft Law Firm from Cincinnati. And the list of potential conflicts here is pretty surprising.
For one, the firm's political action committee donated $10,000 to Attorney General Mike DeWine's campaign for governor. Seitz also worked for the firm for a long time, 36 years.
36 years, not just a few months, certainly. One more connection here, Mike. The firm's PAC gave $1,000 to the campaign fund for Bill Seitz himself. And now Seitz says he was not involved in hiring this firm, and he says their contribution violates no relevant legal ethics rules. But a watchdog group has still filed a grievance against Taft, alleging Seitz's past employment there represented a conflict.
Again, it feeds into what the Democrats are going to say is a culture of corruption. This is a relatively minor thing, but it just doesn't look good.
It does not look good. The AP did a great job with this story. Let's turn now to our weekly segment, John Kasich, GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
Well, our governor made an appearance on WOSU TV this week. Well, kind of.
Yeah, he was on our airwaves, that's for sure, after speaking to PBS's Firing Line. He made some kind of vague comments about living in a post-fact environment. He did, though, say that there is hope.
I think things will come around, but we've got to get into our hearts again, and we've got to remember what those values are. And it's not up to just you and me, but the folks that might be watching this who could come out of what I sometimes think is a stupor on the left and the right, a stupor.
So there you go, Mike. Come out of your stupor and don't be a jerk. That's the message from John Kasich.
Stupor is such an underrated word. That's a great word, stupor.
Yeah, there can
that
be
a... really just is a great word. You know, after listening to John Kasich and then Jerry Brown out here in California talking about his great, how he turned the state around from a deficit to a surplus, how about those two running for president on the ticket?
It sounds like everything is fine in Ohio and in California. There are no problems. Everything's fine.
It's the Kasich, Obama, Brown, Trump recovery.
We're on our way, man. That will do it for this.
On the way back to you.
Okay, well, we welcome you. We welcome you back here in Ohio. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. Be sure to leave us a good rating on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to tell your friends about us. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster on WOSU Public Media.